And so, with the cup held high, may the Meath Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful Meath, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast. As you can tell, it's not Mickey Brennan. Mickey Brennan has gone AWOL. And I'm joined by what can only be described as a bemoaned David Rispin after the weekend. Tough weekend, Davey.
Yeah, I was gone AWOL for the last 3 days. I stumbled across you on Sunday night in McGee's. But yeah, tough weekend, but an enjoyable one nonetheless. Look, you have to take the rough with the smooth, you know yourself.
Yeah, I said to you last night, I said I was doing MC at a charity gig, and it was a kind of a bit of a bingo loco, and I seen yourself and two other clients coming in. I said the last thing you needed was to end up playing bingo on a Sunday night after the weekend you had.
Still couldn't win that either.
No. I suppose overall, Davey, it wasn't a great weekend for the parish in total.
No, obviously, look, great. I suppose great to be in three finals. Uttons were in two finals, first and second team, but they were beaten in both as well. So it was great going into the weekend that I suppose we had three finals to contend, but not great to come out with them with no wins. Disappointing really all round.
Yeah, and look, there was loads of football on the weekend. There was Premier finals, there was Premier semi-finals, all the A-League finals was on. I suppose where we'll start, Davey, is Saturday evening, 7:30 in Partholton, and the ladies, Meath ladies, fell to a 13-12 points loss to Donegal. Obviously, the game was on in Partholton, it was on TG Cahir as well, so I know a good lot tuned in, and I know a good lot tuned in, especially after the penalty shootout between Armagh and Monaghan. And look, I tweeted about this over the weekend, Davey, like, especially in the last 10 minutes, it is ladies football, like the referee, and I don't know whether it's the referee and Davey or whether it's the rules, but overall, something has to change because it's a very hard watch.
It is. It's a very hard watch in general, absolutely. And look, we've kind of bemoaned the decisions that have gone against Meath in the past, but absolutely, there were probably two that spring to mind. One being the disallowed goal, I think, from Maeve Byrne towards the latter stages. And then moments later, Aoife Minogue walked the line for a pretty questionable yellow card, I would have said. And she was sin bin for the remainder of the game. And Donegal, in fairness to them, used the extra player to good effect, kept the ball, you know, did what they had to do. But overall, it was a tough watch, and coming from watching, you know, a high intensity game that was sort of let flow by a referee in Armagh Monaghan to what was happening in the latter stages of the Meath and Donegal game, Alan, it is chalk and cheese. And as we talked about off air, it's completely different, really, from, I suppose, the men's to the ladies' games.
Yeah, and like some of the decisions, I said, it wasn't even that. So Shauna Ennis, obviously, gathers the ball inside the penalty area. She goes to sidestep the keeper. And okay, you could argue, was it a penalty? I don't think it was a penalty, but I do think that it should have been a play on. So Shauna gathered herself. She hand passed the ball back out, and there was a goal opportunity on, but the referee gives a free out. And like, again, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's the charging rule, but like, to me, I have a totally different understanding of the charging rule that you'd often see in men's football. And then that was followed, so that directly after that, that was followed by the goal where Maeve Byrne intercepted the kick out, laid the ball off to Vicky Wall, and then Vicky Wall hand passed it back, and Maeve Byrne hand passed it into the back of the net. Now, maybe I need a touch up on the rules, but I've been taught, like a couple of people I've been told, is that the square ball in the ladies is the old square ball in the men, where you nearly have to wait for the ball to get into the square. I don't know that. I actually tried to Google it to see could I get clarification, and I can't get clarification around it. And probably that's not good for the women, like, because if you're the women and you're looking at all this men's football on TV and you see the square ball how it is, and then I've no doubt that that's in their brain of how their square ball is in the women's game.
Yeah, and look, a lot of us, you know, watch the ladies after watching men's, and we probably are more accustomed to the men's rule making. But as you said, like, the fact that you go in online this morning and can't even get clarity of a rule is ridiculous, to be honest with you. And we're not here blaming referees. They're just kind of implementing probably the rules that are in place, which I think everybody needs a brush up on, but there's certainly things to be done. And we were kind of even nitpicking at the likes of the sidelines. Do you know, the fact that the girls are still allowed across the sideline, that rule to me makes absolutely no sense. I think that was one of the best rules that was ever tweaked in the men's game. But the issue is really when Maeve Byrne goes in, or sorry, when Sean Ennis goes in one-on-one with the keeper, and that kind of collision happens, referee blows the whistle. You have no idea which way he or she is going to point. Do you know, until they do that, you have no idea, are they going to give a free out, they're going to give a penalty, free in, whatever the case may be. It just, there's no consistency with it at all. And it's kind of cropping up in every game now. It's not just one-off games that we're talking about. This is literally every game that you watch, and it makes everybody's blood boil. Like, you only have to go onto Twitter on Saturday evening to see everybody's giving out about it. Everybody's, you know, complaining. And I think the LGFA really have a bit of work to do in terms of, first of all, clarifying, but also probably rectifying a number of these so-called rules.
And do you think, Davey, it's more so got to do with Meath as well? Because, like, I watched the game earlier today. I watched the Mayo and Laois game, and like, there didn't seem to be as much kind of incidents in that game. Is it because Meath are that bit more physical, that they're getting reffed a little bit different? Like, even I seen at one stage, it was in the first half, and Niamh O'Sullivan gathered the ball, and she was on the Donegal 21, and all she was doing was trying to get a bit of space just to work the shot off, and she was done for charging. Like, she was kind of break out of a tackle, and she was done for charging, and you're kind of like saying, and but like, she's turning around straight away, and she's looking to see, like, what's the issue.
I think to be honest with you, the way Meath play, it leads to these sort of collisions. Meath play a running game, and they get fast runners off the shoulder, and they have powerful players like Vicky Wall and Sean Ennis, Orla Lally, these sort of players, and it's not so much a kicking game. Whereas if it was a kicking game, the ball travels, there's runners off the shoulder. With Meath, it's always a running game, so that is why I feel it leads to these sort of collisions. And yeah, maybe they are probably reffed a little bit harsher from referees around the place because of it doesn't make it right because of maybe what they've achieved or things like that. But I've heard all sorts of narratives over the weekend that me ladies have ruined the ladies game and all this kind of thing, which I find bizarre. They've won 2 All-Irelands. I think they're not a cynical team. Like, if you compare them to Dublin ladies, for example, they're probably the most cynical team in the GAA across men's and ladies. I think Meath are probably brandished with an unfair tag in that respect too. But it's bizarre, and it seems to crop up time and time again, really.
In fact, they've revolutionised the game. Like, you know, they've brought so much spotlight to it in the last 2 years, especially since that win over Dublin. Kind of looking at the game, I suppose things went from bad to worse because the draw followed it, and they were handed an away task against Kerry, the All-Ireland favourites, Kerry. And like, even just looking at the betting for the All-Ireland, Davey, like, Kerry are in now at 3-1 favourites. Meath, 2 times back-to-back champions, are 7-1, and they're like fifth in the betting. Like, that kind of tells you where the girls are this year. Looking at the game, the reliables obviously stood up. Emma Duggan, 7 points, 6 from frees. Vicky Wall, 2 points. Niamh O'Sullivan, 2 points. And Maeve Byrne got a point. Are they just struggling to get scores from elsewhere? Like, nothing on the board from Stacey Grimes, or even Niamh Glogie was probably quiet than she was in other games.
Yeah, like, an Orla Laddie got 4 points the last, they didn't score. You know, like, they are struggling in that respect, and coming up against a formidable and prolific Kerry side, that's obviously going to have to improve, and they're going to have to try and nullify Kerry defensively. It's a very tough balancing act. They got a right good beating down there in the league in the springtime as well. But maybe it's the game they need. Listen, they've been wrote off on numerous different occasions. They're going to be probably wrote off, as you said, due to the betting going down there. And maybe that'll suit them, to be honest, because they seem to produce their best stuff when they are the underdogs. But it is a really tough ask, like, for a quarterfinal. And in contrast to maybe what they've come up against in quarterfinals in recent years, this is the acid test for them. And it's going to be a real examination of, I suppose, what they're made of and what they can produce, really.
Yeah, look, and best of luck to Jenny and the girls for the upcoming quarterfinal. Davey, moving on to the results, we'll briefly go through all the results from the weekend. I suppose in no particular order. On Saturday, the 1st of July, the Division 2B final, the result was Clanagale 213, St Ultan's 14 points. In the Division 2A final, we had a final as well. On Saturday, it was St Pat's 312, Mead Hill 113. So a win for St Pat's. I think that was after extra time. In the Division 3A, St Bridget's had a 215 to 28 win over Kilbride. In the Division 3B, we'll say this slowly, Davey, or quietly, Slane 218, caught him 1-2. So I said that really quick. Then we just had a... I'm missing the actual A-League final. Let me see if I got it here. But I know it was Ratote 2-8 to St. Colum Kills 2-5. A late goal by Ratote. Winning for a tote, I suppose I've heard that one all too well before, a last-minute retort goal, winning the final, and I suppose I understand. And of course, it had to be a Colum Kills as well. This time, it was the Saints having to suffer the final defeat.
Yeah, look, in fairness to Colum Kills, they fought back. It looked like coming up to half-time, they were going to be blown away. They looked like they were comprehensively second best, and they produced a fantastic second half performance to probably put themselves in a match winning position. And I know just before that goal that Ratote's got so late, I think 3 minutes into injury time, they had a fantastic opportunity themselves for a goal and they missed it. But listen, they needed a performance. A win would have been, like I talked about it with Mickey last week, a win would have been absolutely huge for them. But that sort of performance will stand them in good stead. They're obviously meeting them again in the championship too. And they've been going really well. It is a blow, like the fact that they lost the final last year against Summerhill so narrowly as well. And now Ratote, they're very close, Alan. And I think you're of the same opinion as well. Once St Colum Kills get over the line, you know, for the first time, I think that's going to signal, you know, the start of something over there for them.
Yeah, and look, it could be some sort of, I wouldn't say a mental block, because you can't say there's a mental block with all they've won at underage level. Like everyone in that team, I doubt there's anyone in that St. Colum Kills team that hasn't won a Division 1 title at underage at some grade. And look, you look back even to when they won the intermediate, Davey, like they have to do it after a replay. Very lucky to get out against Dunderry that day when Graham Riley was sent off. But, you know, they won that, got to the All-Ireland final that year after winning a Leinster. But, you know, it does start to kick in. And, like, you know, you see it as well there with the likes of, say, Kilbride as well in Division 3A. Like, you know, that's the second final that Kilbride have lost. They should have lost the Tailteann Cup earlier in the year after kicking that away themselves. You know, you lose a Division 3A final as well. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, these things start getting into your head like that. You know, can you win finals? You know, it's often been said about Dunsany at junior level, the amount of finals they've been in the last couple of years and that. So I suppose the finals are for winning. And, you know, when you look at Ratote are probably the opposite. You know, they don't lose finals. It's like they've been managed by Mourinho for years. They just don't lose finals. Whether it's junior, intermediate, you know, three out of the last four senior. And now, like, they've got their hands on the, you know, the Division 1 title that they've never won before. Like, and it's just, you know, it's embedded into these people.
It is, and you have to give credit to the players, actually, Alan, because if you look at Ratote, they've had three different managers over that sort of spell with Brian Farrell, with David Brady, Davy Byrne as well, and now Kevin Riley. I mean, they've literally had success with each of those managers, which to me speaks volumes of the players and that they're driving the whole thing, you know. And the managers obviously buy into it and add stuff to it, but the players are the ones that are probably setting the standards there. And you're right, like, they're in the habit of winning even when they're not at their best. Like, you know, you obviously think back to the Kells game, you think of Summerhill even last year. I didn't think they were particularly excellent on the day, but they found a way, you know, and the same against Columbkills. They just find a way to win these games. And I do think once Columbkills, and I think it will only be a matter of time, once they get over the line, they'll learn to kind of adapt to and start to collect silverware as a result.
Yeah, because you can see it with St. Columbkills for their second and third teams, etc. Like, you know, they're dominating these Premier Championships. They'll probably go in as favourites for the Premier Division 1 Championship. You know, they're in Premier 7 finals. They're in, you know, Premier 2. They do well as their second and third team. So as soon as it clicks for the first teams, it's going to work for them. There's just a few results, Davey, that I missed, and a few of them was the Premier results. So the Premier 7 semi-finals in Columbkills, 5-11 to Kilbride's 1-9. Castletown and St. Vincent's were supposed to play, Davey, but there's no result in for that. The Premier 3 final, St. Pat's had a 3-8 to 1-4 win over Dunsany. So a very good weekend for St. Pat's. And the Premier 4 final, Oldcastle had a 9 points to 1-5 win over Blackhall Gales. In the Premier 6 semi-final on Friday evening, Summerhill had a 4-14 to 4-12 after extra time win over Trim. So Summerhill will go on to play tonight's winners, who is Ratoat and ourselves, Gael Columbkill. That game is in Ratoat tonight. The Billy Bourne Cup semi-final, you had Kildare 5-16, Trim 11 points. So Kildare now going to play Kilskeer Moylla in the final. The Donal O'Lindsay semi-final, Killeen 3-22. Clannagale 1-10, and they go on to play Kildare in the final. So that's Kildare in the Billy Bourne and the Donal O'Lindsay finals. And then the Premier 5 final, Davey, it was a 1-13 to 1-10 win for Ballinlock over St. Ultans.
I actually just got the Premier 7 semi-final, Alan. It was Vincent's who won out 2-7 to 10 points, a last-minute goal for Vincent's in that one, booking their place in the final. So I think that was the only one we were missing there.
Yeah, I see Robert Cox tweeted as well the weekend about the Premier. He's not overly happy with how the Premier Championships are running off. And basically, like, when you see, like, you know, Premier finals are finished there now, and a lot of them lads have no football. So what we, the, you know, the first weekend of July, and a lot of lads now have no football for the rest of the summer and the autumn. Like, it's hard to know, David, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, look, it's very hard to find the balance now, because I know last year was the polar. They kind of had it in the middle of the championship, and then teams were losing players as it went on. Personally, Alan, I remember chatting to you about this before. The B leagues, I was a massive fan of the B leagues. I thought they were an excellent competition. They got plenty of football into fellas, and they were probably taken more seriously, you know, than maybe some of the Premier Championships, because there was kind of progression. There was, you know, you're playing them early in tandem with your A leagues on the weekends or whatever like that. And I think they've been a loss, and I do think they need to look at it for sure, because there are teams, like, we'll just say Carlton, for example, we're finished our Premier interests, and we wouldn't be entering a team for the second sort of Premier Championship in the summer, because obviously the first team takes preference. Whereas the likes of a Gael Columbkill or St. Peter's and Boyne, you know, Columbkills, whoever it is, I mean, yes, there's an awful lot of players out there who are going to not play any football for the peak months of the year, which probably isn't right either.
Yeah, and I suppose one thing that I find, and I know it was obviously voted at a county board meeting and it didn't pass, was the second teams playing in the Junior A, Junior B. And I don't want to kind of say this in a kind of, I don't want to play it down, but, like, do the general public, do the players, do they really, really care about Premier Championship? You know, if Gael Columbkill second team or Dunboyne second team or St. Columbkill second team won a Junior B or a Junior A or whatever it may be, I think it's looked at differently throughout the county. Like, I see you guys there last year and you're picking your teams of the week and you're picking your, you know, player of the week and all that kind of stuff. Automatically, your Premier Division 1, who two of them teams were intermediate, The rest of them are all junior A. None of them are getting even a mention because you've already degraded it. You've already said, look, it's a second team championship. It doesn't matter. Whereas if them teams were playing in a junior A or a junior B, automatically you'd be looking at saying X, Y, and Z was very good for such and such that weekend. And they'd be getting into teams of the week, so player, you know, player of the week or whatever it may be. And I just feel that there's nothing there in the Premier Championship, I feel anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, and I know the county board have tried a few different things and getting them into Navan, and that's great. And look, it's obviously great for the teams winning them. They do, I'm sure they do celebrate them and stuff like that. But you're right, the kind of general feeling around it is that the competitions don't matter, you know, and that not too many people are, whether it's journalists, whether it's us, whether it's whoever, there's not that much, I'm not going to say respect, but there's not that much highlighted about them and stuff, which is obviously disappointing. And it's just pure volume of games. Like you have to remember this weekend, we had how many, 6 first team finals, along with what, another 5 or 6 premier finals. It's kind of impossible to give them their bit of spotlight when there's that volume of games going on. The first team finals will obviously take precedence as well. So yeah, look, I do get it. I understand where you're coming from with it.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Yeah, look, David, we could probably talk about it all day. But look, moving on to this week's fixtures, and all the Hurling Championship gets underway this weekend. So your senior, intermediate, and your junior Hurling Championship all gets underway, as I said, this weekend. I'll just quickly fly through the fixtures. So the Ted Morton Clothing and Footwear Senior Hurling Championship Group A on Friday the 7th of July in Park Halton, we have Trim versus Kiltale. On Saturday, the 8th of July, in Trim, we have Ratoat versus Killine. And on Saturday, on the 8th of July, we also have in Rathmullyn, Kildare versus Nafina. In the Senior Hurling Group B, on Friday, the 7th of July, in Father Plunkett Memorial Park, we have Kilmessan versus Clannagale. On Saturday, the 8th of July, we have in Boards Mill, we have St. Peter's Dunboyne against Longwood. And on Saturday, the 8th of July, in Kiltale, we have Blackhall Gales against Dundry. In the JM Food Services Intermediate Hurling Championship Group A, in Batterstown on Friday evening, Drumree take on Navan O'Matney's. On Friday, also in Trim, we have Rathmullyn against Boards Mill. And on Sunday, the 9th of July, in Atboy, Kildare take on Gael Columbkill. In Group B in Boards Mill on Saturday, we have St. Peter's Dunboyne against Kilskeer Moyler. On Saturday in Dunshaughlin, we have Dunmore Ashman against Kilmessan. And on Saturday, the 8th of July, in Trim, we have Navan O'Matney's, in O'Matney's Trim Road, we have Trim versus Wolf Tones. And then, you know, you have your junior hurling group A's. You have Drumree taking on Kiltale, Killine taking on St. Pat's, Ratoat taking on Kildare. And in the junior hurling two, you have Navan O'Matney's against Drumree, Clannagale against Dundry, and you have Rathmullyn versus Trim, Kilskeer Moyla versus Nafina. So a busy weekend of hurling, Davy, next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Start of it now, isn't it? Really, it's going to be week on week from here on in for a lot of clubs, yourselves included, Alan.
Yeah, that's it. And then it just becomes a balancing act. We're trying to get everything right, you know, between football and hurling and you know, different things, because the likes I say, there is still a few Premier Championship finals still to be played, and I think the lower ones have to be played. I think it's from 7, 8, and 9 have to be played, and I think then it'll kick in then late July then for the all the other football championships. So no, it really gets underway next week. I suppose, Davey, we'll move on to the lotto now.
We will indeed. First up is, I think, my own one, Cartown. It's the first one I can see on the WhatsApp, Al. And results from last Friday night, 14,900 jackpot, not won. The numbers were 12, 22, 27 and 31. 520 euro winners were Ann Dolphin, Caroline Linsky, Rosie Linsky, Aidan Foley and Evan Mullally. We go again with 15,000 next Friday night at cartownga.com/lotto. Waterstown are next in from Sunday, the 2nd of July. Numbers were 16, 20, 22 and 23. No winner of their 7,300 euro. And they had no match three winners. So next week's draw is now open and it's worth 7,400. You can play on Club Force or pick up an envelope in Curran's Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road or O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant, also in Johnstown. Minalti from Sunday night as well. 2,800 euro of jackpot. 11, 18, 25 and 27. The numbers, no jackpot winner there. Four draw winners, each receiving 50 euro, were Grania Coogan, Tracy Milady, John Gilston and Martin Riley. The special online prize of 50 euro went to John Farrell. And next week's draw takes place on Sunday, the 9th of July, with 3,000 up for grabs. Castletown from the 29th of June, 4,200 euro, no winner of that. 2, 3, 9 and 19. Lucky dip winners collecting 30 euro each were Anne Young, Martina McHugh, Isabel and Danny Smith, Patricia Kearns, Patricia Smith. There. Gail Colum, kill yourselves, Alan. Winning numbers from last week were 3, 7, 16 and 17. That was from the 29th of June as well. 5,550 euro, no winner of that. There were two match three winners who will share the 150 quid between them. They were Tara Heary and Ellen Dignan. Is it right? I'm right in saying, I think.
Yeah.
5,700 euro next week, so building up nicely there as well. Navan O'Matney's, they've got a nice jackpot. They always tend to do. Jackpot numbers from last week were 3, 15, 26 and 28. No winner. They had one match three who was LNG. The next draw takes place on the 4th of July. They've got 11,000 on offer there. Drumbara, 2,100 euro on offer last week, wasn't won. 11, 17, 20 and 27, their numbers. 30-year winners were Martin McGlue, Colin Ford, Seamus Porter, Amy McDermott and Kay Barry. Manalvi from Monday night, the 26th of June, 4, 8, 18 and 21. No jackpot winner. They had three 20-year winners who were Tommy Gilston, Derek Melia and Alan Gannon. Next draw takes place tonight. That's Monday the 3rd. They've got 3,500 and manalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Club Force app. Kilmainham from the 23rd, 4, 5, 20 and 27. 7,800 of a jackpot, not one. June Madden, Shane Butler, John, Sam and Nicholas, Fergal Black and Courtney Heary were the winners of the 520 euros. And the next draw takes place in the clubhouse where they've got 7,900 euro on offer. Ballinlock, 5,100 last week. The letters were B, D, E and M. No winner of that. Next draw takes place on the 10th of July. The match three winners and sharing 100 euro from last week were Mary Farley, Noel O'Driscoll, Mickey Henry and D Maguire. And the next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Final one, I think, on my list from last week was from Longwood. Their next draw takes place tonight, which is Monday. They've got 800 euro of a jackpot at the moment. Draw from the 26th. No winner of the 700 euro jackpot. Lucky dip winners were Cathy Power, Christy Malloy and Jenny Schramm. 1, 8, 9 and 23, their numbers.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
That's it, Davey. That's the lotto roundup for this week. And, you know, those who aren't doing their own lotto in their own club, it's the most important thing, you know, outside of membership. It's probably the most important thing that you can support within your club. It's probably the number one fundraiser for any club is their lotto. And I don't think people realize that as much. It's so simple just to, you know, buy three tickets for five or a line for 2 euro. Davey, just while we, before we move on to the Instagram interactive, we just want to highlight the Loyal Royals podcast for this week. So we'll have an in-depth analysis of the five A-League finals. So we'll have an in-depth analysis from the Ratoats and Columbkills game, the St. Pat's Mead Hill game, Tannagale, St. Ulpin's game, St. Bridget's Kilbride, and we'll get all the lowdown from yourselves in the Slay and Carton game, what went wrong and, you know, what has to go right for Carton in the junior B this year. But Davey, moving on to Instagram Interactive, what way is it looking this week?
Yeah, it's looking good. Lucky to be working. Who I know you're a big fan of Alan yourself. He was in touch to say Carton, Blackhall Gales, and the Mead Ladies in the Attic, lad. Yeah, I couldn't really argue with any of those three. I think Blackhall Gales were beaten in a Premier final. Obviously, we were beaten, and the Mead Ladies were beaten as well. So, disappointing weekend on all fronts for those three teams.
Yeah, actually, look, it could be worse, Davey.
Absolutely.
Ultimate's got a one for you.
I won't get into that with you. On air anyway. Yeah. Kyle Tallon said Slain 2 league wins after a 30-year wait. That's incredible. Yeah, two wins in a week. Premier last weekend and first team this weekend. They're a club on the up though.
Yeah, and even looking at it always stems back, Davey, to a numbers game, and it's probably something that Slain hadn't got a few years ago. Like, you know, you have to remember, like, it's not that long ago that Slain were a senior team, like, and, you know, when they've fallen off, like, you know, the mid-90s, you know, Slain would have played senior football no more than yourselves, and you know, would I be right in saying you've got to a senior semi-final mid-90s?
Yeah, and then a quarterfinal, I think, in the early noughties as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, again, it all stems back to obviously quality of players and a numbers game, and that's one thing I see from Slain. You know, even standing in the photos, you know, they've plenty of numbers and they've done a bit of work at underage level, and, you know, they seem to go. But then, like, people kind of, you know, I always hear this, oh, Slain the village, you know, Slain's not that small now. There's a lot smaller areas around me than there is in Slain.
Yeah, I think you're right there. They're probably underachieved for a lot of years there, and they're absolutely where they should be and building back up now. But they have a great young team, probably an age profile of 2021. It's incredible. Great players as well. Another club on the up, Alan, is St. Pat's, and Pádraig McNulty said the sniper Mooney for the Pats. And it's hilarious, isn't it, that, like, we're talking about young players and everything, but the likes of Niall Mooney, you know, still coming on and doing the business and getting them over the line in a league final. The class is permanent.
Yeah, and every club needs them. Every club needs them experienced lads, because, you know, you do think back to, obviously, Alex Ferguson's or Alan Hansen's famous coach, who went nothing with kids.
Mm.
It's probably right to a certain extent, but, like, you do need the experienced heads around. And, like, you know, we have it in Kells, like, you know, what we do if Beano ever puts up the boots, and it's the same in St. Pat's, or, you know, you can go through every club and they all have them, you know, lads that have been around for the past, you know, 20, 25 years and have been doing it, but you just know how to do it, and they're going to bring on. So especially for the likes of St. Pat's, when you see the likes of, say, you know, your Sean Emanuels, your John Mannions, all these kind of guys, like, you know, you need them older guys to kind of guide them along and kind of set them up for the future.
Very much so. Robert Perfield as well, saying that Pat's collecting trophies for fun this weekend. They had a nice double as well.
Yeah, yeah, another good double there as well. So, and that's the way it's happening over the Oak. You can see a lot of teams have kind of done a few doubles over the past few weeks.
Yeah. Sean Murray said Ben McDonough's new ink. Ben McDonough, I was actually marking Ben McDonough on Friday night, and he had the plaster on the arm, and I kind of knew it was a tattoo first then, so we probably should have targeted that from an early stage, Alan, but yeah, nice ink on show.
I'd say if you got close enough to him, you might have done the damage.
He was close enough to me. Yeah. Moving on, Deck F. Dunn said damn, Dublin and Kerry are a different level. Yeah, did you get to see both games, Al?
I seen the Kerry game, and I seen some of the Dublin game. I was traveling when the Dublin game was on, so I was listening to it on the radio.
Yeah, they look good. Kerry
looked class. They're a joy to watch. And you know, Dublin, like everybody has written Dublin off. Like people forget that, you know, Kerry only beat them by a Sean O'Shea monster score last year. Like, you know, it's not as if they were about out the gate last year either.
No, that potentially is a great final in making. Deck F. Dunn also says Ballinabracky, woo on the Bracks. Yeah, great win for Ballinabracky against Navan O'Mahony's too in the 1B final.
Yeah, reversing the result from the group stage where Navan O'Mahony's beat Ballinabracky. But, you know, again, I stem back to this whole thing, like, you know, Ballinabracky. Everyone thinks Ballinabracky is this, you know, don't get me wrong, it is a small rural area, but they have plenty of household names that they have. And they've probably a lot more household names than, you know, on that team than a lot of even senior teams have. So a lot of the big senior teams have. So, yeah, Ballinabracky there, one to watch when it comes into the championship.
It's Cooney said the Bracks are back. Sean Duggan says lucky to be working going to Australia. Just for a bit of backstory to this, Sean Duggan is in Australia and he's getting serious amount of abuse from lucky to be working about being in Australia. Loads of jobs in Ireland and fellas emigrating. I know in over in Kells Island yourself had quite a bit of an exodus as well. Not just to Australia, but to different places. But it's a problem in a lot of clubs, isn't it? Like there's an awful lot of lads going away at the moment, and hard to blame them, especially after COVID.
Yeah, look, I had this discussion with one. We were above in the league game above in St. Colum Kills, and it was absolutely pissing out of the heavens. And we were giving out about lads going to Australia and that and the other. And I just think we said, okay, so they're down walking on Bondi Beach in the sun, and we're here in the pistons of rain on a Friday night in St. Colum Kills. Yeah, I think they're right to do what they do. Like, you are only young ones, like, so. I think it's obviously, you know, it's you look at it from a tinted perspective that it affects the team, but look, lads have to live their life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that we've probably already brushed over, Cathal Duff just saying the referee and the charging rule in brackets in the ladies' football is a joke.
Yeah, I suppose we can't go on to it anymore. Again, as I said, you know, we're not blaming referees, because I know a couple of people have come back to me on Twitter and said, oh, look, why don't you take up refereeing? I'd be a great referee, by the way. So I would. Someday I will take it up and I will take all my anger out and every one of them. But like, we're not giving out about referees. We're giving out about the rules. It's more so the rules. Mm. And it's even the understanding. Like, if they want to grow the viewing public, you know, they need to kind of, you know, clarify the rules or you know, make the rules more. Like, you know, they're looking for, like, you know, they're looking to kind of mask all the games together. And, like, you know, kind of, if there's a rule change in the men's, or, you know, they should be the same as such. Like, you know, whether it's a compromise of both, that's what should happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Cormac Dard is going to put you on the spot here, Alan. Wants predictions for senior, intermediate, and the junior championships. I don't know if you've got football.
Senior, like, you can't really look by your toe, can you? Like, you know, any team that I think the only time Ratota are going to lose is if it's outside of a final. So it may be a quarter final, a semi final. Someone might get them on the hop like Wolf Tones did 2 years ago with a lot of injuries or that. Intermediate, wide open. You have the likes of, say, Navan O'Matney's. You have Kenny O'Castle, look, I'll go to Leek Bellewstown for the intermediate, and for the junior, I will go an outside bet on St. Bridget's.
Interesting. Might get a decent price on that as well. PS Tape says Dub semi-final on the same day as Tolton final. It's laughable at this stage.
Yeah, it's madness now. Like, especially if it's not bad enough having to play on the same day as the Dubs, and it's going to be a bit of a scramble now for tickets, which you're hoping wouldn't be the case. You know, I just hope we don't lose. I'd hate to be walking out of the stadium and all them coming in half jarred and having to listen to them. That's my worst fear.
Very much so. Didn't even think about that. But yeah, one more from PS Tapes. This is the last one, and I know we're running out of time. But he wants to know, will Alan be getting the tricolour Mohican back for the Women's World Cup? Tell us a bit about that, Al.
back in 2002, when I had hair, myself and Simon Cahill, we got a Mohican tricolour for the World Cup in Japan. And funny enough, it was the last time the men reached the World Cup, and it was the last time I'd heard. Thanks, Al Paddy, for remembering.
Yeah, it must have taken it out of y'all. Good man, Paddy. But that's it.
That's it, Anya. Look, Davey, that's it for this week's We Are Mead podcast. And remember to jump over to the Loyal Royals podcast, where, as I said, we'll have an in-depth review and previews on all the weekend's A-League finals. So, Davey, for myself, yourself, We Are Mead, why it matters more.